I'm Steve Potter. Later on Cityscape, we're going to remember Richard McDonnell, the founder of the Max Jazz record label, who died earlier this year. We're going to talk with his son Clayton and to Gene Dobbs Bradford of Jazz St. Louis, which is hosting a memorial concert this Sunday. But first, Opera Theater St. Louis opens its festival season tomorrow night with Mozart's The Magic Flute. Four operas are presented in repertory over 6 weeks. Tenor Sean Panikkar is featured in that first production. Soprano Kelly Caduce appears in Dialogues of the Carmelites, and they both join us now. Welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The season also includes The Elixir of Love and the world premiere of a commissioned work, 27. Well, in a repertory season, you know, it's really important that the productions complement each other in some way, fit together. Can you speak a little bit to that, how these four operas work?
Well, I think they work together in the fact that there's a little bit of something for everyone. You have, you know, a couple of standards in there. You have the Magic Flute and you have the Elixir of Love, which are very standard in the repertoire. But they've taken a different twist, at least I know for sure, with the Magic Flute. They've brought in Isaac Mizrahi to direct, and maybe Sean can speak about that a little more. But I also want to mention there's also a world premiere, 27, by Ricky Ian Gordon, a wonderful American composer. And then we have Dialogue of the Carmelites, which is a very cerebral, intense opera.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Dialogues of the Carmelites is really intense. The Magic Flute is a little bit lighter. And, you know, the Magic Flute and the Elixir of Love are both more or less comedies. The Magic Flute is more of a fantasy land. Elixir of Love is just pure straight-out comedy. So, I mean, there's something that you can bring kids to. Actually, you could bring kids to The Magic Flute or Elixir of Love, and they'd probably love both of them. And since Opera Theater of St. Louis performs everything in English, it's accessible to everybody.
You said Carmelites was intense?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's because of the subject matter.
It's because of the subject matter. It's based on a real story of the Carmelite nuns and how they were, during the French Revolution, they were forced to sacrifice their lives for the cause of their religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Magic Flute opens the season. Sean, you sing the role of the prince on a quest, right?
That's right. That's right. Tamino is the good guy. He's the hero. He's out trying to rescue Pamina, the princess, and save the day.
Well, you've brought along a piece from that. What are we going to listen to?
Sure. This first thing is the introduction of Papageno. So Papageno is a bird catcher in the opera, and he is Tamino's friend who goes on this quest with him. And this is where he's more or less talking about how he likes to catch birds.
Bin ich ja stets lustig, heisa, hopsa, sa. Ich Vogelfänger bin bekannt bei Alt und Jung im ganzen Land. Weiß mit dem Laden umzugehen und mich aufs Pfeife zu verstehen. Drum kann ich wohl lustig sein, denn alle Vögel sind ja mein.
And that's from The Magic Flute. We're talking about Opera Theater of St. Louis's new festival season, which opens tomorrow night. With us is Sean Panikkar and Kelly Caduce, who are both appearing in this season. Tell me about the director. He's been here before with Opera Theater, Isaac Mizrahi. And he causes a lot of excitement wherever he goes.
Absolutely. Isaac Mizrahi is a world-famous fashion designer. He's been around for quite some time in the fashion world. And what's really interesting is because he doesn't come from the opera world, he brings a lot of really fresh ideas to The Magic Flute. The Magic Flute was premiered in 1791. And so it's an opera that's been done over and over and over again. And even many of us in the cast have done it multiple times. And so we came in with our preset notions of, you know, what happens in this scene and how we're supposed to interact with each other in this scene. And Isaac came at it with a really fresh set of eyes and really kind of took a common sense approach to it. And it really brought some excitement to it. And because he's a fashion designer, he's so visually focused that every single scene is just visually stunning. And there's always something to look at, especially in the Loretto Hilton Center, which is a thrust stage. There's audience on three sides. And it's tricky for us as opera singers because we're so used to just facing out, because when you don't have microphones, you need to sing in the direction that the people are so they can hear you.
Right.
But because this is an intimate setting, we're able to sing and still reach the people that are even behind us. But what Isaac has done is he has a troupe of about six or seven dancers that are almost always on stage doing something. So no matter where you're facing, you're going to see something fun on the stage.
Does he get a little extra involved in costuming?
Absolutely.
Due to his background, of
Absolutely.
Course.
He designed all of the costumes. They're all gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, personally in all of our costume fittings. And we're in Tech Week right now. We're going into our orchestra dress rehearsals. He's still making tweaks. And, yeah, he's very visually based.
Well, Kelly, in Dialogues of the Carmelites, you share the stage with a friend of ours, Christine Brewer.
That's right.
And I'm sure you've worked with her before. So.
No, I have not, actually.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's going to be exciting, don't
you
think?
Yeah, she's a thrilling, thrilling performer, very well known in the opera world, and lucky to have her here.
Well, who are the Carmelites?
The Carmelite nuns are a group of French nuns. They still exist. I think there might be some Carmelite nuns here in St. Louis. But this is based on a true story of them during the French Revolution.
Tell me about the chant, and we're going to sample that.
This is a chant that begins the scene after their reverend mother has passed away, and you hear Blanche and Constance praying over her soul with this beautiful little chant.
And that is from Dialogues of the Carmelites. Kelly Caduce is here and Sean Panikkar. And we're talking about Opera Theater's new season, which opens tomorrow night. So what? Tell me about your character in particular, the nun that you play.
Right. I play Blanche. And when you first see her, she's not yet a novice. She is just expressing to her father and her brother that she wishes to take the vows of a nun. It's based on a true story, but the character of Blanche is not necessarily real. And she is a very flawed character. She's a very nervous girl. She has some mental stability issues. She represents that courage doesn't necessarily take the face that we expect it to face. And you see that through her transformation, through her fear to the final ending of the piece.
Sean, when you're working in a repertory situation like this, I mean, I know you're all busy with your own rehearsals. Do you get a chance to see the other productions?
Yeah. One of the beauties of Opera Theater of St. Louis is that the season is stretched out for so long. So, you know, even though we're done with rehearsals and we get into our show, everybody's show is still up and going. So we definitely have time to see every show. And usually when I'm here, I try to.
Hmm. Kelly, we mentioned Christine Brewer. Mm-hmm. You're sharing the stage with her again. Tell me about her role.
She plays the new prior. So as I spoke to you about the Blanche and Constance are praying over the old prioress's death, Christine Brewer comes in and represents the new prioress that takes over after the old prioress.
Let's sample something else from Dialogues of the Carmelites, the duet.
Yes, this is a duet between Blanche and her brother. After the revolution has broken out, her brother is trying to convince her to leave for her own safety.
Pourquoi vous tenez-vous assis depuis 20 minutes, les yeux baissés, répondant à peine? Est-ce là l'accueil qu'on doit à un frère?
Tu sais combien je voudrais ne vous causer aucun déplaisir.
En de mon commençant, notre père juge que vous n'êtes plus ici en sûreté. Est différent de celui d'autrefois. Il y a dans vos manières présentes, je ne sais quoi de contrainte et de force.
The 2014 festival season of Opera Theater of St. Louis opens tomorrow night and runs through June 28th. We've been talking with Kelly Caduce and Sean Panikkar. And real quickly, the couple shows that we briefly mentioned, one is really interesting. It was commissioned by Opera Theater. It's making its premiere this season, starring mezzo-soprano Stephanie Blythe. You haven't seen it, obviously.
No, and I don't really know much about it other than, I mean, I did The Grapes of Wrath. I was in the cast of Grapes of Wrath that Ricky Ian Gordon wrote, and I think Sean has sung some of his stuff as well, and I've done some of his art songs. And I know he is a master of melody, and his writing is very operatic, yet it is very tuneful. So it's just what I think encompasses what is perfect about American opera.
It's kind of like operatic musical theater almost. I think it's really accessible to anybody, even if they haven't seen an opera before. If you come in, you will enjoy the music.
You know, Gertrude Stein, Alice B. Toklas, and their Salon in Paris. It looks interesting to me. And then the other one is the Elixir of Love. So does the potion work? Does the love potion work, Kelly?
You know, I would say if you think it works, it works.
One thing we've mentioned about opera theater, which maybe is important to hit again, is that it is sung in English, and a lot of people appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, The Magic Flute was obviously written in German, and The Elixir of Love was written in Italian. But Dialogues of the Carmelites, which Poulenc wrote, he actually intended it to be performed in the vernacular because he wanted the audience, in their time before supertitles and things, he wanted the audience to actually understand the story. So when it made its debut in La Scala, it was in Italian, and when its debut in the United States, it was in English. The Magic Flute is an opera that's often translated into English, even in companies besides Opera Theater of St. Louis, because, you know, it's a show that kids can come to, and they prefer to hear it in English rather than German. Elixir of Love is a comedy, which makes a lot more sense in English, and 27, obviously, being written by an American composer is in English.
And it's worth mentioning that, of course, the orchestra is comprised of members of the St. Louis Symphony, so that's always good to keep in mind. And since you two have both been affiliated with Opera Theater before, you know the whole thing, the picnics and before, the little post-meetings afterwards. That really adds to the fun and excitement of the whole thing.
It does, and the beautifully manicured gardens outside of the theater are just wonderful to spend time in.
A couple of quick things I just want to mention in closing. About a week ago, Opera Theater staged, maybe this is the first time for an opera company, I don't know, they had a flash mob, and Sean, you were part of that?
I was, yeah. That was a lot of fun. They had, I don't know, 300 or 400 people that showed up, and we did a choir rehearsal beforehand, and then we showed up at Keener Plaza and did a flash mob before a Cardinals game. And I
what
think
kind
caught,
of reactions did you get?
I think it caught everybody off guard. I mean, they had set up a grand piano, so obviously people knew something was happening. But they were playing piano duets and stuff beforehand, and so people just thought there was, you know, some pleasant music happening. And then all of a sudden, people out of the crowd just started, you know, coming together and singing music. I mean, we sang Meet Me in St. Louis. We were singing the Happy Birthday to St. Louis because it's the 250th birthday of the city. Mm-hmm. And we did a special version of a thing from Pirates of Penzance with new lyrics for the St. Louis Cardinals. And so we're hoping that the Cardinals will kind of adopt it as a theme song.
Hmm. Sorry, I missed that. Kelly, later this season, I think you're going to be performing for the first time with Lyric Opera of Chicago. That's a big deal.
It is. I'm very excited.
What else you got going on?
What else do I have going on? Oh, I'm reprising A Couple of Butterflies coming up. Always happy to do that. But the Passenger piece that I'm doing in Chicago is another really spectacular piece. Hmm.
And Sean, one final thing. Last year, and I have to admit I missed this, but I've certainly heard about it. You and a couple of other tenors made I don't know how many appearances on that television show America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And that was sort of a new thing for you because, you know, as an opera person, you're probably not recognized everywhere you go. But, boy, put you on national television, that's a different deal.
Yeah, it was a totally, totally wild experience for me. I didn't even know those guys before I had been on the show with them.
Forte, is that what you call?
Forte is the group, yeah. And they had competed on the first round. They lost one of their members, and they started, like, going scouring opera management sites, and they randomly found me. And I met them literally days before their second round in Las Vegas. And so I flew there and had no idea what was going to happen. But I thought, oh, it'll be fun, you know, go on. It's the highest rated show of the summer. It averages 10 to 12 million viewers. And, like, how often do you get a chance to be on national television without actually having to do the work involved in getting to there? You know, I didn't have to sit in the convention centers and do all those auditions. I just kind of showed up and it was on TV. And I just thought it would be a fun thing to do, kind of bring opera a little bit to the masses, because I have been working as a professional opera singer for 10 years. And we kept advancing, and we got to the finals, and we didn't win the show, but we signed a record deal with Columbia Records and, you know, put out an album and got to do all sorts of fun things. We sang at the White House for the tree lighting, met the president. it's been a crazy experience, but opera singer schedules are usually booked out 2 or 3 years. And so it's just added to the busyness of my schedule because we're just kind of plugging in forte events in between my opera.
And you intend to keep doing that, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Well, Opera Theater of St. Louis opens its 2014 festival season tomorrow night with The Magic Flute. If you'd like more information about all the operas and their festival season, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. Oh, and I do want to mention that for more about The Magic Flute, if you go to our webpage and look in the arts and culture section, there's a more in-depth piece by Patricia Rice that you might be interested in. Kelly Caduce and Sean Panikkar, thank you so much for being here and have a great season. It's nice to see you.
Thank you.
Next on Cityscape, a memorial concert for the founder of the St. Louis-based Max Jazz record label. This is St. Louis Public Radio.